It takes time and money and smarts to get a business off the ground. We pick the brains of people who either started or run successful businesses in our region in a segment starting today called The Ground Floor. Yes, there is a little mixing of elevator and aviation metaphors we recognize. But The Ground Floor explores what it took to get a business started and what continues to make it a success today. We begin with Derex, a manufacturer based in Ashland. It's not a recent startup. The fourth generation of the founding family is now in charge in the person of Matthew Bernard, who's the CEO of Derex, sitting across the table from me. Matthew, good to see you.
Good morning.
And his father, Dave Bernard, is with us as well, who is the third generation of the Derex family. Hi, Dave. Good to have you here.
Thank you.
So for the folks who may have seen the name many times, I mean, there's a fair amount of Derex sprinkled around Ashland, like the Derex ice skating rink and stuff like that. What do you make there?
We make a line of sharpeners. So we started over 40 years ago making industrial sharpeners, and we've, over the years and now generations, transitioned to consumer sharpeners, drill bit sharpeners, knife sharpeners. If you have something that cuts, there's a good chance we make a sharpener for it.
All right, so this is sort of like Guess the Audio. This sound should be familiar to you.
But it is indeed, yep.
Okay, what is that?
That's a Drill Doctor, a product we've been selling now for close to 20 years.
All right, so that in itself is sort of an interesting place to go, David Bernard. I mean, a lot of people, I think, probably use their drill bits and go, it's dull now, it won't go through anything. Boop, pitch it, get a new one. So what market did you figure you could serve here by going after sharpening the stuff you got?
Well, we started in the industrial market, so that's where our roots are. And so we made sharpeners for people who are doing a lot of metal cutting for making things. And so it was just an easy transition. It turns out most people don't throw away their drills. They put them in a drawer because they're so expensive that they figure someday I'm going to get to that. And so that was one of our markets, was the people that had saved up all their drills.
So Derex provides the someday answer.
Yep.
And so the company actually started in Ohio, is that right?
In Chicago, near Chicago. Mm-hmm. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's where I'm from.
How long ago?
It started in 1973. It actually, there was a business before that my grandfather started, my dad was in, called Bernard Welding, and that was sold in 1970, and then we started Derex in 73. So my dad and my grandfather were involved in Derex as well. The D is me, uh-huh. The A is Arthur, my grandfather, and the R is Richard, and the EX is sitting beside me here.
Right, the EX?
Et cetera.
Et cetera.
That must make you feel good. You're probably determined from your for eighth birthday to take over the company someday.
You know, I certainly got asked a lot growing up if I was going to be the next president or person in charge of Derex. And I think to our family's credit, it was never a foregone conclusion or any kind of pressure. Although looking back, I can now see how I was certainly introduced to the business and it was made to look exciting and fun, but I was never expected to take over. I worked there a lot, and even up through college, it wasn't my plan to take over Derex and have that be my career path. But at a certain point of working there and getting more responsibility and taking on projects and really getting to see what the effects of something on a business can be, it started to be fun. It's like a game or an experiment, and getting to play at that is fun. So.
He's a graduate of political science from SOU.
So. That was the next question. Yes. Was what you would understand? So I mean, had you seriously considered other careers, or as you got further into college and further into life, did it just look like Derex was more like the place you'd end up?
I don't know that I had seriously considered other careers. I thought for a while that I wanted to be a chef, and I hadn't actually ever worked in a restaurant before. So dad gave me some good advice, which I'm really glad for now, which was maybe before you decide to become a chef, you should work at a restaurant. So I did that for a couple years, and it was a great job while I was young and having fun, but not a career. So it was good advice, and I still love to cook. But after that, as I started working, especially in our sales and marketing departments, there wasn't another career, but it's like I said, it started to become really fun and started to look like a path that could really be a great way for me to not only take on the family business, but have a great time at the same time.
Matthew Bernard and Dave Bernard from Derex are our guests on the Jefferson Exchange in this inaugural version of The Ground Floor, a chance to look at how people get their companies started and how they keep them going. You can join us on the exchange with your comments and questions about the company involved here, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I'm missing a bit of the backstory here, Dave Bernard. How did Derek's end up in Ashland?
Well, when I had a similar story with that Matthew had of getting involved in the business, but one of my criteria for joining my dad was to not live in Chicago. I didn't want to spend the rest of my time in Chicago. So it's a long story, but I went off on a 2-month trip and found Ashland, stumbled upon it, and my dad liked it, and my grandfather came, and we last year had 50 people at Thanksgiving, all family. They all live here.
Wow.
So
that's impressive.
We brought everybody with us over time.
How many turkeys did that take?
It takes about 3.
Okay. Yeah. And now how about moving the business, though? I mean, how many people were employed by Derek's in Chicago?
It was fairly small at the time. We moved in 1979. We had about 15 full-time equivalents and offered to have them come with, but none of them did. So when we moved out here, we started over again.
And what kinds of conditions did you find when you came? I mean, what sorts of issues presented themselves in terms of trying to set up a manufacturing facility here and get your stuff going in a new place with all new workers on the assembly lines?
Well, it was all new workers, and it was all a whole new mentality of when we lived in Chicago, we could just run down to the city to get parts and get things that we needed, and here we had to be a little more proactive and think about what we're going to plan a little better than we used to. Yeah.
And so Matthew Bernard, as you assume control of the company, how long has it been now?
3 years.
Just 3 years. Okay. And how, I mean, what sorts of things have forced themselves as changes over the time that you were growing into the job? I mean, you've had the internet come along and direct sales through Amazon and all sorts of different ways that people shop and find out about products and use products for purposes perhaps they weren't originally intended for, things like that. So, I mean, what has that done to your product line at Derek's?
Well, the biggest change for us happened about 20 years ago when the Drill Doctor launched, moving from being an industrial manufacturing company to a consumer products company. So we went from making products out of raw material using machines and a lot of internal processes to making consumer products at a really high volume. And now we don't really make any of our own parts. So we're primarily an assembly operation. So we have partners around the world who are good at doing what they do, whether that's making electric motors or plastic parts, and we bring them all here and put them together. So that's probably been the biggest shift that I've seen, although I wasn't necessarily a part of making that transition. Since I've been in charge or really involved in the business, you're right, there's been a huge shift in where people are buying products. And so the marketing to those people and then how they're finding them and then getting them to their doors has certainly been something that's in flux and continues to be. The retail market right now is somewhat turbulent, so we're having to really evaluate who are the right retail partners, are they going to survive for the long term, and figure out how to position our products in the right places.
So is like the Drill Doctor something that is sold in primarily hardware stores, home improvement stores, or is it also in general department stores?
The Drill Doctor, you could find it at a hardware store, so a local Ace, like the one we have here in Ashland, Home Depot, Lowe's, those type of outlets. Our Worksharp outdoor product line sells at outdoor shops like Dick's, Field & Stream, Sportsman's Warehouse, those kind of places.
It's the impact of the internet on so many things. Among other things, I had no difficulty finding audio to pluck from the internet, from YouTube, of people using their Drill Doctors. There must have been 3 or 4 different videos out there, in addition to the videos that people take of them unpacking their new boxes and stuff like that. Interesting world out there. We're talking to the folks at Derek's. Matthew Bernard is the current CEO. Dave Bernard, the CEO Emeritus. Is that the title you use?
I don't have a title anymore. So.
And there are our inaugural guests on a segment we call The Ground Floor, looking at entrepreneurs around the region. This was brought to us and developed by Cynthia Scher. Thanks for your help, Cynthia. And you can join the conversation on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. And what do you know? Here's a call about one of your products. Don and Eugene, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Oh, good morning. This is interesting because I have to drill thousands of holes today. And I use a lot of Forstner bits, and I use occasionally a spade bit. The Forstner bit was invented by a guy who settled in the Aurora colony, a guy named Frank Forstner. He settled in the, there was a, I don't know, it was kind of a religious colony up in Aurora near Portland. Frank had come up with the Forstner bit, which is a wonderful thing, especially if you put carbide scoring teeth on it. But I use spade bits a lot, if you know what I'm talking about.
Sure, they're paddle bits, or, you know, is one of the other terms for them, where they're just sort of flat and...
Right,
yeah.
But they're wonderful for keeping the thing aligned so it doesn't shatter, and you can drill from two sides to get a clean hole that goes through. The thing that I have a problem with, I can't sharpen these things, and I wonder if you make any device that could... and by the way, we buy all our materials in Oregon, and we ship all over the place, and... I think that's something that we ought to do. You know, wood is laying around everywhere. We buy wood in the South Coast. We buy wood in Central Oregon. It's usually wood that's destined for a chipper, and we've made millions of dollars worth of stuff out of it. And it's a lot of fun, actually. I sent one to Phil Knight. He liked it. anyway, so how do you sharpen a spade bit? This is for all your people in their shops listening in.
All right. Thanks for the question, Don. Appreciate it.
Good question, and I wish that there were more people asking that same question. We actually had a spade bit sharpening product that we discontinued now about 4 years ago. So as the Drill Doctor was getting more mature, we started looking around at the marketplace, trying to figure out what the next product could be, and spade bits was one of the top choices. We thought there's a lot of people buying them and using them.
And they do wear out fast, too, I find.
They do wear out fast. Unfortunately, there's not enough people buying them and using them and then also wanting to resharpen them. So it was one of our products that we launched and sold for a few years and then discontinued.
Oh, man. So that is one of the issues that you're going to have to do in any business is figure out what works and what doesn't. And so Dave, you must have been in charge of the company at that time.
Well, actually, I had hired a guy that was running the company at that point. His name's Hank O'Doherty. He ran it, and he and I mentored Matthew, but he really mostly mentored Matthew. And that's one of the ways that I think the transition from me to Matthew worked really well, is to have somebody in the middle.
A bit of a buffer.
Father. Yeah, uh-huh. A bit of a buffer, and he was the perfect guy for it. So yeah, he was part of it when that sharpener came out. I think one of the biggest reasons that it didn't work well is that those type of bits are fairly inexpensive, are really inexpensive, and so it doesn't pay really to sharpen them.
I'm fascinated by the engineering as I look at the things that go into the Drill Doctor alone. I mean, the angle of the tip on the bit and the split tip and some of the other stuff that goes. So somewhere along the way, Derek's had, and maybe still does, have some really serious engineers looking at what makes the best drill bit when you're done.
Yeah, well, the original engineer was my grandfather. Mm-hmm. The next one was me. And now we have a whole team of engineers. Really, we've become more of a knife sharpening company than a drill sharpening mm-hmm. company. I don't know what it is. It's knife sharpening is probably more like two-thirds of our business.
Is that what appeals to you too, Matthew, because you like to cook so much?
Yeah, we just recently, a couple months ago, launched a line for the kitchen, which is the first product that we make that actually I would be a customer for. So while I really like and enjoy the Worksharp outdoor products that we make for hunters and fishers or the do-it-yourselfer products for the drill doctors, actually being a cook, it's been fun being a part of the development of that product, knowing that it's one that I would actually buy and put in my house.
So how much is the knife sharpener, and what kinds of features does it have that makes it stand above other knife sharpeners?
So the sharpeners that we just launched are under the a new brand, so Worksharp Culinary. It's a line of products, so we have a range from $50 up to $200. What makes it different and what sets it apart, and what we've designed it for, is to be one that you actually use. So what we found in our research is that a lot of people have a knife sharpener or have had a knife sharpener in the past, and it's usually gathering dust or been taken to the Goodwill or something like that, because they're hard to use, they're a little intimidating. So we really tried to build in a lot of features that make it super easy for everyone to get a sharp knife and become one that you'll use on a regular basis.
Consumers aside, I mean, what are some of the logistical issues that you have from being based in Ashland, Oregon? This is not exactly the, you know, the shipping center of the world. Especially when you're having parts shipped in and manufacturing your finished stuff here.
The biggest challenge, I'd say, is having to fly through San Francisco to get anywhere, it just seems like, especially in the spring and fall when it's so foggy. But we've actually found it's not too challenging to do the manufacturing here. Being right on the I-5 corridor, kind of in between the Bay Area and Portland, it hasn't been a challenge for us. Maybe it takes us an extra day to get parts that we need, but... Mm-hmm. It hasn't been a big challenge for us.
So was there a near-death experience in Derex at some point? It seems like every company, as Cynthia tells me, has a near-death experience. Was there a time when it looked like Derex might not make it, Dave Bernard?
No, I don't think so. We did have some where we sort of bet the company. The Drill Doctor was one of those when we first came out with it. We didn't really have a good way to nationally sell the product, and we didn't know how to do that. We had never done it before, and we decided to advertise. Hank got Paul Harvey to be our spokesman, which cost a lot of money. Cost about a quarter of what our sales were at the time, and so we had spent a lot of money to develop the product. Now we're spending a lot of time or money to market it, and it either had to go or it was going to be a big ouch. Mm-hmm. Probably wouldn't have killed us, but it would have hurt a lot.
All right, but you recovered and everything Everything worked out fine. So just a couple seconds left. Matthew Bernard, any ideas for products that are in the planning stages?
We are putting all of our focus and energy into the kitchen right now. Just with these first new products, we think it's going to open a whole bunch of new doors, and I'm excited to see where it goes.
And how many people do you employ all together at Derex?
We have about 150 coworkers right now.
150 people at Derex in Ashland. Matthew Bernard is the current CEO. Dave Bernard, the CEO emeritus, the third generation passing to the fourth generation. It's the ground floor, again, co-produced with the help of Cynthia Scherer in Ashland. Thanks for your help, and thanks for listening to this first edition of the Ground Floor here on the Jefferson Exchange.